The Word of God from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Who did it? When we look at this text, there's no question about who did it. St. Paul begins by describing God with attributes of mercy, love, grace, and kindness. But why? Why are these words so important? Because they show God, who is a merciful, loving, gracious, kind God. But these words are directed toward us. They show us that we need God's mercy, love, grace, and kindness because we did it. We sinned. We broke God's holy commandments. In some way in our lives, we have lied, hated, lusted, stolen, desired things that are not ours. And even if we try to deny it, our conscience gives us that sense of guilt and shame. Our sins have separated us from God, put us into spiritual poverty, and even made us spiritually dead. As St. Paul says, we were dead in trespasses. We could do nothing to save ourselves. So, who did it? Who rescued us? In our text, St. Paul says, God did it. All the things that he lists here, God did this and this and this and this. He says, God loved us. God made us alive. God raised us up. God seated us in the heavenly places. God's love compels him, motivates him, drives him, urges him to have mercy on us poor sinners, to save us, as St. Paul summarizes in that familiar but so important phrase, by grace, by God's undeserved love, you are saved. First, it says, we are saved because God loved us. God, our Heavenly Father, loved us so much that he gave up his only begotten Son to be our Savior. This is our God who created us and also chose and planned our salvation from the foundation of the world. He does this in his Son, Jesus Christ, who became flesh like us in the manger of Bethlehem. And yet he was without sin, so that he could be the perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' sinless life makes up for our sinful life. Jesus' innocent death pays the price for our eternal death that we deserve. By grace, you are saved. God made us alive, Paul continues. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, whom we call the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit, through baptism, washes away our sins. He calls us to be believers in Christ through the powerful word of the gospel. And he makes us members of the Holy Christian Church. He gives us life and faith to know and believe in Jesus as our Savior and God as our Father. By grace, you are saved. He raised us up. God has the power over life, even those who are dead. Jesus demonstrated several times in his lifetime on earth that he could raise people from the dead. Jairus' daughter, the young man of Nain, his dear friend Lazarus. That blessing of being raised from the dead is promised also to us. When we die believing in Jesus, he says he will raise us up again on the last day. And he promises that even now he is preparing a place for us that we might be with him in heaven. And that's what St. Paul says here too. By grace you are saved. He seated us in the heavenly places. Jesus has a place for you in heaven. Sometimes heaven seems too abstract and too far off. But this week of the Transfiguration, we get a glimpse of what heaven will be like, that wondrous glory of Jesus shining on the mountaintop. He took his three of his disciples with him, and his face was changed so that he shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Those disciples got a glimpse of the glory of what we will see in heaven. And standing next to Jesus on that mountain were Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah had been dead for centuries, but here they are alive because to show how they are in heaven, in glory everlasting. This Jesus does to encourage us, gives us a glimpse into that glory of heaven that Paul describes. He seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Heaven is prepared for us. Heaven is waiting for us. And in God's good time, he will bring his believers into that amazing glory. This is our encouragement when life is hard, when we struggle with sin and guilt and shame, when we feel alone or afraid. By grace, you are saved. This is our hope and our goal that is already achieved because Jesus lived, died, and rose again for us. This is the gospel. God loves you. God makes you alive. God raises you from the dead and prepares a place for you to be seated in heaven with Christ Jesus. He does this out of love, not because we deserve it. He does this out of mercy and compassion for us, out of his unending kindness. By grace you are saved. God be praised for this miracle of salvation, this news of great joy for all people, this blessed hope of eternal life for the sake of Jesus our Savior. We pray. From eternity, O God, in thy Son thou didst elect me. Therefore, Father, on life's road, graciously to heaven direct me. Send to me thy Holy Spirit, that his gifts I may inherit. O create a heart in me, that in thee my God believeth, and o'er the iniquity of my sins most truly grieveth. When dark hours of woe betide me, in the wounds of Jesus hide me.